Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, welcome to the Double Drop Kick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And this is the wrestling podcast where we talk about the wrestling you grew up with. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today, Mark.
Yes, sir.
About 18 months ago, a little thing called the WWE Network was announced and launched. And we won't rehash. We did a whole episode on what we wanted to see on the network. And finally, after 18 months, our cries have been heard. And some old school wrestling has been released on the network. Matter of fact, Jim Cornette tweeted, they better be careful, because now that they're putting good wrestling on the network, they'll realize how bad
Monday Night Raw is. Well, you know, I thought, number one, I think there were two reasons behind. There's the reason, and then I think there's this underhanded reason they put out there. I think the reason is there's very much the people like me who signed up for it for all the old stuff have pretty much watched most of the old stuff they wanted to watch. So that they had to have heard well, if they don't put some new old stuff on there, new old stuff, then I'm only going to watch Magnum TA and Tully Blanchard so many times. So I need something new. And I think there's that. But I also think that on their part, I haven't heard this from anybody else, just what I perceive. I think that there was this backhanded, people are complaining so much about the way wrestling is, and let's put some old stuff on there and show them that it wasn't as great as they thought it was.
Right.
Because I think in their mind, they equate a lot of pyro and a lot of LED lights, the board that hangs on the side of the ring now with people's neck. I think that that's what they think makes wrestling good. And that that's, I think they equate production value with good wrestling. And I think that that can backfire on them pretty quick. People some people are discovering this stuff. Some people have never seen that 605 show. And how well laid out it was.
And
it was all squash matches for the most part. You weren't going to get Ric Flair versus Dusty Rhodes on the Saturday night show.
Right.
Matter of fact, you weren't going to see Ric Flair or Dusty Rhodes wrestle that often.
Right.
On that Saturday night. Not that it doesn't happen, and because it does, but, you know, you're just not going to see these big-time marquee matchups taking place.
Yeah.
And I think that people are still looking at it and saying, wow, man, these guys can talk.
Right.
Because that's what that show was about, and that's what you watched it for, was every week – Ric Flair was, and sometimes Ric Flair would come out twice in the show and cut a promo. Dusty Rhodes and Magnum TA were coming out and cutting promos. The Road Warriors were cutting promos.
There is a, you know, I've talked about this before. I've not seen any of these. I did not have TBS.
Right.
Now, I want to make a distinction. This was, I think there's two different shows. One's on the network, one's not. This, the World Championship Wrestling that came on Saturday night at 6:05 is often referred to as WCW Saturday Night, but there was an actual show called WCW Saturday Night after the Turner buyout.
Right, right.
And that show, you and I went to a taping of it, my friend, and it was lacking
very much.
So we're not talking, when we say WCW Saturday Night, we're talking about the old Georgia, what used to be the Georgia Championship Wrestling, that show. Let me ask you this. I didn't have cable growing up. I was a...
You're part right.
Let me
ask
you this.
You're part right and you're part wrong.
Why did it start at 6:05? Why not 6 o'clock?
The TBS used to be that way. I mean, everything started at 5 minutes after the hour, and I think, I don't know, I can only assume that the idea behind it was, if you're watching, because it didn't just start at 6:05, it ended at 8:05.
Right.
So if it ends at 8:05, you've already missed 5 minutes of another show, so you might as well just hang around and watch what's coming on here next, which was probably either Andy Griffith or the Brady Bunch
or Matt Locke.
Braves game. Matlock hadn't come along yet.
Oh,
here.
Yeah.
That Saturday night slot was Georgia Championship Wrestling.
Yes.
And then they sold that slot to Vince McMahon. And that's what everybody talks about, Black Saturday.
Yeah.
When Vince McMahon came on, and this was the beginning of the heat between Vince McMahon and Ted Turner, because Vince McMahon promised original programming and didn't deliver. He would just send tapes in of things that had already aired, or, you know, shows yeah. from Madison Square Garden or whatever. He didn't, in their estimation, deliver what he had promised.
Right.
And he sold that slot to Jim Crockett Promotions out from it. So Georgia lost it, then Vince had it, and then Jim Crockett Promotions bought that. And it was just called World Championship Wrestling, but it was the NWA.
Yes. And they make that distinction at the beginning of the show.
Right. The name of the show
was sanctioned by the National.
But the name of the show was right. World Championship Wrestling.
Yes.
Then with the Turner sale, first of all, Vince took $1 million, if you believe the stories, financed WrestleMania, did his thing.
And Turner was pretty successful.
Yeah,
with that.
He did all right. And then after the Turner purchase of Jim Crockett Promotions, which at that point had pretty much become the National Wrestling Alliance. I mean,
right.
by that time, everything was kind of winding down. And they just renamed their company World Championship Wrestling, and it became WCW Saturday Night.
Yeah.
Which, for a long time before Nitro, was where all the main angles took place. You talked about it not being a great show. That's because when you and I saw it, I think Nitro was already off and running
right.
by the one that you and I went to.
Right.
But there was a time when WCW Saturday Night was the show, and that's
yeah.
where the main angles took place, and that's where a lot of the big matches started out from.
The difference between when I watched on Saturday and Sundays, which was Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling on Saturday, Worldwide Wrestling on Sunday. When I watched those two, I was hoping to see the angles that were shot on the TBS show. Very rarely was that vice versa. I mean, they might show a match clip, but most of the angles, the interviews, like you said, matter of fact, the first episode I went to watch the other day, they just don't do it like this anymore. David Crockett and Tony Schiavone start the show off, and Brad Armstrong just walks up and cuts a promo.
Yeah.
And it's not a great promo, but it's like, man, Brad Armstrong's cutting a promo. And then you find out he's getting ready to wrestle. And that's what they would do. Guys that were getting ready to wrestle would just kind of come up and
sometimes.
Sometimes, right.
Sometimes. A lot of times it would just, you'd come out of a squash match and they'd be standing there with the Road Warriors, and the Road Warriors would talk about something, and you know, and you'd see angles like the Road Warrior Russian angle started on this show. I watched it the other night.
Right.
You're skipping around trying to find things, and I'm not.
Right. No.
You told me you were like, oh, I wanted to see the, and I guess you're talking about you wanted to see the Dusty Rhodes promo and Nikita Koloff,
well, here's
they were with Bill Apter. You were looking for that?
No. My goal is, and if you haven't watched it yet, it starts in 85, and it's the angle where Dusty's come back leading
right.
up to Starrcade 85. When I was just kind of picking around and just was looking for something to watch, I wanted to see, yeah, it's Dusty and Nikita. Bill Apter's not there. But
after
Magnum TA's match or accident,
right.
I wanted to see, just wanted to see that. But I am going to go back, because here's the great thing, and I think you're the one that told me this, is you can go back and watch it in order and see some of the best angles ever play out.
Well, you're kind of stealing my thunder here, what I wanted to talk about.
Well, that's what I'm. I'm setting the stage.
I know you are. So, like, I would advise everybody to not jump around like Heath is doing and just fast forward around and try to find what you want to see, because you'll get there.
Right. That's right. That's right.
And I would go back if it was me. Get on the WWE Network, watch Starrcade 84.
Yes.
This is where I would start at. Watch Starrcade 84. Then get on YouTube and watch.
Love it.
Huh?
I love it.
You love what?
I love it.
Okay. All right. So get on YouTube. Search for, and I don't know what the actual titles of this stuff is, so you might have to do a little bit of your own legwork. Nikita Koloff attacks David Crockett. And you'll see Nikita Koloff, Russian sickle, David Crockett, which was a big deal.
You cheated, Nikita.
You cheated. And he goes off on Nikita Koloff and Uncle Ivan, and they get tired of it. And they clothesline David Crockett, and Ric Flair saves his friend, David Crockett. We've talked about this before. I'm not rediscovering the moon here. I'm just telling you what order I would go watch this stuff in.
No, okay? Please, continue. Yeah.
Because at the time, what you had Ric Flair doing was playing a heel or a babyface, depending on who he was wrestling. In this situation, he come to the defense of his good friend, David Crockett. And then you want to go on YouTube and you want to watch the match between Nikita Koloff and Ric Flair in the cage that was set up from all this. And you'll see the end of the match. And the reason you want to watch Starrcade 84 is because there had been this deal with Dusty and Flair where they were nemesis and they wrestled to see who was the best, but they didn't hate each other yet. There was a little heat between them, but it wasn't real, real heat in 84. And then over the year, they had teased them. Are they going to fight? Are they going to be friends? Are they going to fight? Will they be friends? And the Russians began to attack Ric Flair, and Dusty Rhodes comes down to save him. And then the Andersons slip in behind him. They close the cage door. They beat Dusty down. They break his ankle. So you want to watch that. Then, of course, you want to go back and watch the famous Hard Times promo. And then from that point, after you've watched all that, you want to start watching the first episode of the 605 TBS show from 1985. Because you're going to see some cool stuff, man. And let me say this, Bruce Mitchell, who I'm a huge, just did 2 hours talking about all this stuff. I'm not going to do 2 hours on it.
Right.
Some of the stuff I'm going to say, he might have said. But it's, you know,
yeah,
it is what it is.
Right.
When you have similar opinions about things, I'm not trying to steal his material.
Great minds think alike.
Yeah, I'm not trying to steal his material. He didn't go through what I just went through. I mean, that's not what I'm talking about. But there's some things that I'm fixing to say going forward that he may have said, and I'm not stealing it from him. These were my thoughts, and so I'm still going to share them because they are my thoughts.
Right.
So you'll see Dusty come out and cut an alternate version of the Hard Times promo.
Yeah.
Which is good. It's not as good as that promo. You're going to see the beginning of the Rock and Roll Express being introduced, where they've already defeated the Russians and we're going into Starrcade 85, and they have the match against the Russians. Okay. You're going to see the Midnight Express. These two teams, are the Rock and Roll Express and Midnight Express, were brought in specifically to feud with one another, but they were kept apart to begin with. What a novel idea that they would build them up each individually. Mm-hmm. So you have the Rock and Roll Express in a feud with the Russians, and then you have the Midnight Express in a feud with Jimmy Valiant and Miss Atlanta Lively, who is Ronnie Garvin,
mm-hmm.
Allegedly. And the two teams are kept apart. You build up to Starrcade 85. So you want to watch it, and you'll know when Starrcade 85 is coming. You'll also see Magnum TA grab Baby Doll and kiss her, and then when she starts to pull away, he tears her blouse. And only in 1985 would that guy be the babyface in this scenario.
Mm.
You know what I mean? such a weird thing that he kind of forced himself on this woman, tore her shirt, and he's a baby face. Well, anyway, in the process, Tully Blanchard comes out. They get in a fight. David Crockett, once again, is collateral damage. He's trying to break it up. He gets popped in the eye by accident with an errant elbow. And then you'll see Tully Blanchard. You'll see Magnum make the challenge for the I Quit match, and Tully Blanchard say, no, I'm not willing to have this match with you. And then you'll see how an authority figure should be portrayed on TV, which is Bob Geigel coming out and saying, Tully Blanchard doesn't want to have the match. We feel that this match is too violent. We don't want to, the National Wrestling Alliance will not sanction a match like this. And then Jim Crockett will come out and say, Tully Blanchard signed an open contract a few months back to wrestle anybody. We could find somebody for him to wrestle. We've got this contract laying around with Tully Blanchard's name on it. And whether he likes it or not, we're going to go ahead and make that I Quit match. So they forced Tully Blanchard into the match. He doesn't want to be in the match. So you'll see all that go down. And then you watch Starrcade 85. And you'll know there again when it's coming up. You'll be able to tell by the promos. It's time to watch Starrcade 85 now. So you'll see the build up to the I Quit match. You'll see the build to the Russians and the Rock and Roll Express. You'll see the build for Jimmy Valiant. That's what I love about this. I wish that whoever was kind of putting all this stuff together would drop the Starrcades in and drop the big pro, whatever the shows. Some of them are going to be Great American Bashes that we haven't seen yet. Yeah. I wish they dropped them in the middle of the timeline.
Yeah.
So now, like, why? It's such a simple thing to do that would make watching this so much more enjoyable.
Just put it by years.
Yeah, just do it by
chronologically.
Years. Do everything chronologically and insert, have the TV shows and then insert the pay-per-views and then have the TV shows and insert the pay-per-views.
Because one show you didn't mention that ties into the whole Crockett and Koloff and Flair is the Great American Bash 85 at the baseball stadium.
Yeah.
Because that's just a brutal match, and you really see Flair play, not just play the babyface, but playing off that whole Rocky IV deal.
Yeah.
It's like, how's Ric Flair going to beat this guy?
Right.
This guy's an unstoppable beast.
Uh-huh.
And then you got poor old David Crockett in there. He might end up like Tim Smith if he's not
absolutely
careful.
Yeah, I didn't talk about that, but I mean, that was but yeah, definitely, if you want to go back and watch that, that'll be a good thing. So do that, and then you'll see the aftermath
of
Starrcade 85, which is the big dusty finish that happened. And Ric Flair, one moment that I loved, because I'm going through these one, and I'm actually watching all the boring matches too.
Right.
Because there are some boring matches on there. I'll just tell you the truth. Some of the, you know, when you get a young up-and-comer like Sam Houston, who is normally being the guy who's getting beat, and then he's going to win the match, and he's wrestling another underneath guy, and they might wrestle for 10 minutes, and they're not great matches.
Right.
But you got to sit through. I sit through that stuff because sometimes you find a cool thing that you forgot about. I forgot where I was going with this. But the
aftermath of the dusty finish, and Flair does this cool thing.
So Flair does this thing where David Crockett, and I just thought, man, you wouldn't see this on TV today. WWE would never allow anybody to talk to one of the principal owners of that company this way.
Right.
Where they have made the decision, Tommy Young has come out and made the decision that Ric Flair is going to be the champion. He's not. It was the dusty finish. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And David Crockett questioned that. He wants Dusty to be the champion. And he's everybody, they make it clear he's one of the owners of Crockett Promotions. On TV, and Ric Flair comes out and says, I don't care that you're the vice president of this company. I don't care. I don't have to give Dusty Rhodes another rematch. I don't have to do anything I want to do. You don't have to like the fact that I'm a champion, but there ain't anything you can do about it unless somebody can take it away from me in the ring. And that was it. And he shut David Crockett down.
Yeah.
And that's the role that Triple H and Stephanie McMahon should be playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I understand that you don't like it, but unless somebody can take it away from me in the ring, it don't really matter what you like.
Right.
And that's all he had to say, and that was the end of it.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything else to talk about.
Well, it helps, but it hurts today that your authority figure is a former multiple-time champion and future Hall of Famer.
But not, it shouldn't. And,
right.
It shouldn't hurt anything. No, what I'm saying, it only hurts because he wants you to remember that he's the bad. He wants you to know he's the alpha male,
right,
in all these situations.
And one of our biggest complaints, they're not creating any more alpha males.
No, they're not. There are no alpha. They got an alpha female named Stephanie.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Those are the two alpha dogs on every episode. People are either afraid to cross them because they'll get fired, or they're doing their bidding.
Right.
It's one of those two things. Nobody, even John Cena doesn't stand up to him that much.
Right, right, right. So if you go back, and I'm browsing through here. So
you're on Google, ain't you?
I'm not on Google. Promise.
You're on the WWE.
I'm on the network because I just want to see. Because they go 85.
Uh-huh.
They go through the end of the year, and then I'm going to tell you.
86 is almost the entire year.
I'm looking here. I believe 86 and 87.
Yeah, 85 is pretty much just the build-up and aftermath of Starrcade 85. There's not a lot. There's nothing really before that. But 86 and 87, there's a lot of episodes.
87 goes up through September.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, you're going to have
a year's worth. Listen. And I cannot watch Raw for a year. I can watch this every Monday night.
But that's what I do. So here's what you're going to watch this show understanding. The matches are not always going to be great, but every once in a while, like I was watching the other night, and they had a 15-minute time limit draw between Buddy Landell and Manny Fernandez.
Mm-hmm.
Two good hands. Buddy Landell, I've said, could have, if he wanted to, been great.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. Absolutely.
And it was a good match, man. I mean, you got two guys who can work, two guys who are believable, two guys who have a ton of confidence in what they are and who they are, and go out and put on this great match, this back and forth seesaw thing, and then it ends in a time limit draw, and both of them are over at the end.
Yeah.
Instead of one guy getting beat. No, they didn't do that every week. They've been doing the championship challenge.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can always tell, like it was Ole and Arn and Tully. By the way, what I'm watching up right now, you're seeing the early formation of the. They're not calling themselves the Four Horsemen yet. The four of them have not appeared on camera yet. J.J. Dillon is still with Black Bart.
And Thunderfoot.
Or Thunderfoot. And Black Bart. I was going to say Cowboy Ron Bass. Black Bart was feuding with Cowboy Ron Bass.
Right.
Buddy Landell still got J.J. in his corner. So they're not together yet.
Yeah.
But they're beginning to mention one another in their promos.
Mm-hmm.
And they're starting to acknowledge. Tully Blanchard the other day said, and Ric Flair and I've been training with him a little bit. We're kind of becoming training partners and trying to help each other get better, and I appreciate his. So you'll see a match with Arn, Tully, and Ole against Magnum T.A., maybe Ronnie Garvin. I know it's Magnum T.A. somebody and Sam Houston, and you know Sam Houston's taking the pin.
Right.
No way, my. You'll see this is just what I've watched so far. The Russian team attack the Road Warriors and destroy the Road Warriors, and nobody had done that.
Yeah.
Up until they have been just this dominant tag team, and they come out, put the chain around Hawk's neck, throw him over the top rope and hang him. Just stuff that you remember, stuff that you've forgotten about.
Yeah.
Even. To set up that match, but I wouldn't call it a great match, between the Road Warriors and the Russians. And you can go back, watch all this stuff, then watch the Starrcade that it was built up to, and then watch it. It's awesome, man. It's awesome.
I'm excited to go back with Drake, who hasn't seen – neither one of us have seen any of this.
Yeah.
And to go through and watch them all in order with the Starrcades,
uh-huh,
and just let him see – what it used to be, and just kind of get his take on it. But everything you're saying, I mean, as much as I loved of that, the wrestling I grew up with, I only saw half of it.
Right.
So I'm excited to be able now, Because you wouldn't tape the show for me.
Well, I didn't really.
You wouldn't tape the show for me.
You didn't ask me to.
Mark, I did. I asked you multiple times.
You probably did.
I said, Mark, you got a VHS and cable, and I know your family can afford it. And
I'm just a poor, humble child
I'm just, you know. But so, yeah, you got the end of 85, all of 86, and 87 up to September.
And, like, it's you'll watch these guys cut promos, and even the guys who can't cut a promo. Jimmy Valiant, I still don't know what any of his promos meant except
right.
for the time he was sitting on the street corner and he was down, and Big Mama yeah. showed up.
Yeah.
I love that. I've always loved that. And but, man, Paul Jones will come out and cut these nonsense. He just pitches a fit like an 8-year-old kid.
I saw the one with him with Manny Fernandez and Rick Rude.
And see, I haven't gotten to that yet.
And he's just just kind of talking. And
Cowboy Ron Bass will cut a better promo than anybody on Monday Night Raw has cut in a year.
Wow.
And
see, you don't
Cowboy
remember
Ron,
him
you don't
as
even
being
think
a talker.
About Cowboy Ron Bass.
Right.
But his promos will be better than anything you see in WWE right now. And they're not great promos. But
right.
here's the thing about all those guys, you know, except for Denny Brown. I watched Denny Brown cut a promo the other day, and it was awful. I mean, he looked like he was the most uncomfortable being on camera guy that you've ever seen. And
because he was getting ready for his title defense at Starrcade.
Yes, he was. That's exactly right. He was. They were fixing to take that title off him and try to use it as something else. I think I can't remember if he won it or lost it, but. Because it doesn't figure into anything.
Right, right. Because he was
like
the junior heavyweight champion.
That's right. I think
between him and Nelson Royal,
that's right.
They would make just very sporadic appearances.
Yeah. Well, anyway, yeah, he just comes out and cuts the most god-awful promo you've ever seen in your life where he's like, in mid-sentence, we'll stop and take a big, deep gulp. Like, my name's Denny Brown, and
well, it's been great seeing people on our Facebook group, The Wrestling You Grew Up With, mention, man, we're watching this old stuff. Man, I forgot how good of a worker Robert Gibson was and forgot how good of a talker Ricky Morton was.
Yeah.
And
just think so many of these guys are good by today's standard.
I was thinking about this the other day.
All right, I don't know if that come out right, but the standard is so low for what a promo's supposed to be now.
Right.
That, you know, a guy like Ricky Morton, who at the time was not considered one of wrestling's great talkers.
Right.
Now, when you look back on him, he seems like Dusty Rhodes compared to Roman Reigns.
Back then, there seemed to be... When you would watch Saturday, Sunday, they were trying to talk you into the building. I remember specifically, especially when it was Georgia Championship Wrestling, they did a Sunday night show at the Omni. And so when this Saturday night show would air, there's like, tomorrow night in the Omni, I mean, over and over and over.
Right.
And... to me, that's not even part of the equation.
Yeah.
You've said it before many times, more eloquently than I'm about to, but WWE's the circus. You're going to go to it maybe twice a year. You don't know, when you buy your ticket, you don't know who's going to be there.
No, you just know you're going to see the trapeze artist and you're going to see
the
client.
Back in the day, who's going to be there Monday night in Greenville? Man, Ric Flair's wrestling Wahoo McDaniel. Well, daggum, we go.
Right, and they would specifically switch the show. Like, they would do one show that was headlined by Jimmy Valiant versus Paul Jones and one that was headlined by, you know, the Horsemen or the Road Warriors
right.
or Dusty. And they might do that for two or three weeks in Greenville while at the same night they were in Greensboro with the Valiant show, and then they'd switch them.
Right.
And a lot of people would go based on, well, I don't care about the Valiant Paul Jones, the older people, maybe didn't care as much about that, the more educated fans at the time. But for me and you, who were kids at the time, I mean, you know, I loved Jimmy Valiant when I was
we just wanted to go.
Because he was so high energy. Yeah, you just wanted to go watch wrestling.
And you'd see Saturday, you'd watch Saturday and Sunday, and they would tell you, you know, the Rock and Roll Express come on there and say, hey, Monday night in Greenville, we're going to kick your butt. And you're like, all right, we're going because I want to see that.
Right.
And so it was very disappointing when you get there and you didn't see when, you know, cards subject to change. But for the most part, when they'd cut those promos, they were trying to talk you into the building. Then they did, they had all the territories had that. What am I? I'm
the bicycle.
They had the tour. What's the word?
The loop.
The loop that they were doing of the different towns and different nights. They're just not there anymore because they're in a different part of the country.
Like, you and I had this discussion over breakfast. If you told, 10-year-old Mark.
Yeah.
Mark Whitman, not a 10-year-old wrestling fan, but 10-year-old Mark Whitman, that there was going to be a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week channel that would run a streaming thing. Because the WWE Network does do that. I mean, you can watch the live stream of the show. I rarely do that.
Right.
And they're constantly showing things. And every major pay-per-view from three companies, it will be on there, as well as a lot of all the plus this backstage stuff, plus all these documentaries, plus all their DVDs, plus the Stone Cold podcast and the Chris Jericho, which are basically shoot interviews that I'm getting as part of the service. And not only that, you'll have WWE on Monday night, then you'll have Ring of Honor on whatever it is, Comet.
Saturday night, yeah.
And you'll have TNA coming on, what's the TV Guide channel? MeTV, isn't that? No, MeTV's the...
Boom or whatever
it is. That tells you how much I plan on watching TNA. Plus New Japan coming on Access, plus Lucha Underground will be on.
Getting ready to start back up.
So I'd have all of that, and I'd be able to watch wrestling basically around the clock if that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
If you'd have told me that then, I'd have thought I was in heaven, and I have never been more apathetic about wrestling than I am.
Yeah.
Is apathetic the right word? You're the smart guy, not me.
No, you're right. Let me ask you this. Where would you and I be as wrestling fans without our connections to organizations like Three Count Wrestling?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, that's my excitement for wrestling is Three Count.
Yeah.
I'm excited to go and be a part of the Three Count show.
Right, me too. And I know there's sometimes, and you'll hear a lot of guys who get involved with doing stuff, once they're getting their itch scratched by being involved in it, the watching it kind of becomes secondary. But it's not secondary for me.
Right.
I still watch a ton of wrestling.
Yeah. You're not watching the wrestling. You watch it on your time, what you want to watch, you want to watch it.
Yeah, I just don't – like if WWE – if Raw – I watched – I started Raw and started watching it. The one the other night when they had the 40-man tag team, because I guess that was their solution to all their problems.
Yeah, instead of letting Four Hell Horsemen grew organically, and you can watch that happen over months instead of, hey, four guys, League of Nations, here we go. You know?
Throwing everybody together like that, and nobody – here's what I thought as I was watching the show Monday night, and I don't like to analyze because I don't like to watch what I don't like.
Right.
But I was watching it, and my thought – taken away because I quit watching it. I cut it off about halfway through because I was like, who am I supposed to be pulling for?
Right.
Who's the – just everybody's fighting everybody.
Yeah.
There ain't nobody friends anymore.
Yeah.
None of the good guys back the plays of the other guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was just – I got to watching that whole deal with everybody in the ring. And so is Bray Wyatt a good guy now?
Right.
Because he's standing up to the League of Nations. But he doesn't like the other good guys from ECW.
Right.
And I don't have any interest in that. I want to know what the motivations
of people
are.
We need black and white.
Why all of a sudden is Bray Wyatt standing up to the League of Nations?
Right. Yeah.
And why are they friends? Just because they're all from a different country?
Right.
So it made sense. Let's put them all together because they're from different countries.
Hey.
You see what I'm saying? So
I do see what you're saying.
So I just cut it off.
Yeah.
That's my solution. I'm not – you didn't see me get on social media and offer up, here's what I think they need to do to make things different.
Right.
Here's what I would do to make, because you got to pay me for those ideas, first of all. And second of all, I don't care enough to do that. I just quit watching. I just cut it off.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of people are doing now. And changing things up on one night of Raw, and I don't even think they changed, because that was the big thing. Oh, there are going to be some major changes to WWE. They didn't change nothing.
Nah.
They didn't change a thing, and they ain't going to.
No.
And changing it one night ain't going to make no difference, because the people that have quit watching like me have already – you're going to have to get me back. And you're not going to get me back by having a rumor come out that says, well, tonight's show's going to be different. You have to – it's going to take – they have to make changes now, hoping that 6 months from now word of mouth is good. You can't – it didn't get bad overnight, and it's not going to turn around overnight.
Yeah.
You have to do stuff consistently. They need to be – when they – I heard Kevin. So, have you listened to Kevin Sullivan and Jim Ross yet?
Mm-mm, no. Oh, good stuff.
Oh, you talking about? I mean, just two of the best minds,
right,
for thinking about stuff.
Yeah,
and they have an old school mentality, and that's right. Fine. But just Kevin Sullivan said it, and I never had this thought before. Because Jim Ross asked him, "What would you do if you were put in charge of it?" And there were some hard and fast rules that we want to have in wrestling. Not creatively, just, you know, hard and he said, when you start a football season, at the beginning of football season, generally a month before football season starts, whether it be college, pro, or baseball season, or basketball season, or hockey season, you know on this day these two teams are going to face.
Yeah.
The only thing that's up for grabs is the postseason.
Yeah.
Regular season, we know at the beginning of the season everybody who's going to play.
Yeah.
And what day they're going to play them.
Yeah.
Whatever that sport is.
Yeah.
Why in wrestling are we waiting until Monday night when everybody's there to figure out who's going to be wrestling each other?
Oh, great. Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you just knew, all right, on this day, I want to have my plan for what's going to happen on Monday Night Raw 4 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that we can get there. We can get ourselves to where we want to. And I don't think that's happening there.
Yeah.
And I don't think hiring Mick Foley's kid is going to change that. And let me just say, if Mick Foley thinks, and I like Mick Foley. If he thinks his kid got that job for any other reason than his last name's Foley, he is delusional and he is fooling himself.
Well, here's, you know, before we started doing the show, there was an iPad app that was a wrestling game where you booked shows, you know, and you tried to do, you know, the better your show was, the more attendance, the more money you made, you know, novel idea. But I would plan, because I'm a nerd and all my friends are nerd, I would plan it out because you had your pay-per-views and I would plan out. And I knew, okay, this show's got this many match. You know, if you've got WWE 2K16, which I have, I haven't played this part of it yet. You go in the universe and do that. Everything you just said, you know, I know that the fourth Raw in the month of May in 2016 is going to have this many segments and this many matches.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Why can't I plan that out? Why can't I, like, but what I would do, but what you've got to do, in my opinion, and I'm not, again, not the first person to say this. You fire all the writers. You just fire all the writers. And you say, Roman Reigns, you're in the first segment, and you got to cut a promo about this. Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck. And you let the guy sink or swim.
Right. And I think that's been lost. And that goes back to what I really was wanting to talk about. Was the confidence that everybody had in who they were when I watched these old shows.
Yeah.
Nobody told Dusty Rhodes, listen, there's a promo where Dusty Rhodes, they cut to it, and Dusty and Magnum are standing there in fur coats.
Yeah.
Do you know how ridiculous they probably felt?
Right.
Standing there in fur coats. But they took the time and the money to go get those fur coats
right
for that. Just and they stand there and deliver this promo with these fur coats on, and it's the most ridiculous thing you're ever going to see. Nobody had to tell Hawk and Animal. They believed that they were Hawk and Animal.
Hey, I thought their names were Hawk and Animal.
And they made you believe that they were as bad as they said they were. Buddy Landale would come out. That's right, I said it.
Right.
You know, he had confidence in who he was. Cowboy Ron Bass had confidence. He knew who Cowboy Ron Bass was. Nobody told him who Cowboy Ron Bass was. He developed that.
Yeah.
So he knew when he talked, yeah, I got a little mud on my boots, and I got a little dirt on my fanny, you know, and it would just right. be that kind of thing, and you know. But so, I'm going to take these old cowboy boots of mine, and I'm going to stomp a mud hole in you with them.
So is that – so maybe that's what's lost is now you – okay, let's say somebody – it's AJ Styles. AJ Styles wrestling Ring of Honor, Independence, New Japan. He's AJ Styles in all of them. He's always been
right.
AJ Styles. And so he knows who AJ Styles is. Because AJ Styles, that's who he has become. That is a character. That's who he is.
Right.
So when he cuts a promo, that's AJ Styles. I believe it. When Sami Zayn talks.
Yeah, his name ain't Sami Zayn.
What the crap? I'm not saying you can't give the guys a name. I'm just saying, I was thinking about this the other day. Somebody like AJ Styles, and everybody's like, you know, his contract's up and he can sign with WWE. The worst thing that could happen for us as wrestling fans is that, and I want us to hear what we're all saying. We all hate WWE right now because it sucks. Uh-huh. Yet we want all of our favorite independent wrestlers to sign with WWE right. where they will be sanitized and lose everything that makes us love them right now.
Right.
And so what I would say, Young Bucks, don't sign. Stay what you're doing. AJ Styles, stay what you're doing. Jay Lethal, stay what you're doing. Nakamura, stay what you're doing. All these guys. Stay what you're doing.
I don't know what stay what you're doing means.
That's a t-shirt right there.
That's right. Stay what you're doing. You finally got a catchphrase.
And it sucks. And it's dramatically incorrect.
It ain't. Yeah, yeah.
Everything you're saying, Cowboy Ron Bass could cut that promo because he was... The office didn't say you're Cowboy Ron Bass.
No, he developed.
He said, I'm Cowboy Ron Bass.
Yeah, they hired him because he did a good job at being Cowboy Ron Bass. It wasn't, we got this character, let's find somebody to fill that role.
Right, and now it's like, and this was never more evident than in early 90s, late 80s, WWE, when you had the trash man and you had the police officer and you had the Mountie and, you know, you got, these.
T.L. Hopper, Doink the Clown, Duke Drosy, and Bastion Booger, and Mantar.
But it's like. Everything, yeah. If I haven't said it enough, everything you said is right. Everything you said is 100%.
I don't need you to tell me.
I believe you do.
That I'm right.
I think you're having a crisis of confidence.
Yeah, that's
and I have
that's always been my problem.
I have the spiritual gift of encouragement.
That's always been my problem, not a lack of confidence.
So you ran down just this great, you know, TBS show, WCW, some other things that were on the network. And we just want to run through these real quick. They put some Stampede stuff up. Had to take it down because Bret Hart owns his footage from his parents' will.
Uh-huh.
So they cannot put Bret Hart Stampede footage up without Bret Hart's permission, so it's all down. They've posted more Mid-South.
When did it come down? I didn't even realize it had come down.
I just heard in the last couple of days.
Huh.
They put up some more Mid-South episodes. They put up AWA episodes.
It's not the good AWA, though. It's really not. It's
have
like,
you noticed most of the AWA is very Shawn Michaels heavy?
Yeah, yeah, right.
And also the Global Championship Wrestling, very Steve Austin heavy. And they're definitely, and when you were talking earlier
you think
about.
They're still about promoting their.
Correct.
Their guys, yeah.
It's
a great observation.
Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
You get to see the debut of the Thrill Seekers.
Yes.
Which is really, it's interesting to watch. I just get Jim Cornette's philosophy behind it. Do you get it?
Behind the Thrill Seekers?
Right. Have you watched any of the Thrill Seekers?
I'm on that episode. I started from the beginning with Smoky Mountain, that first episode.
So you haven't seen the...
No, I haven't seen the progression yet.
It's such a great idea.
But they build up to it. It's not like they just appear. They did the video and then they...
Well, they go to like Pigeon Forge and ride go-karts. And then they have this great sit-down interview where right. they talk about their personalities. And one of them's a little bit more serious. One of them's fun, you know, Jericho. And then Jericho likes... He's got a band and he's got the long hair and... he dresses more like a rocker, and Lance Storm's got the crew cut or the high and tight, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. He had his shirt buttoned up, whatever. And the idea is, if you understand the booking behind it, is not to bring in me and you.
Right.
It's to bring in the girls.
Yeah.
And to have them say, oh, I either like Lance or I like Chris.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The clearly defining their personalities, that they're different. Because with the philosophy being, if you can get the girls to come, the guys will come to get with the girls and to bring your houses up. And that was very much what tag teams, the boy band tag teams were. He was trying to recreate the Rock and Roll Express stuff with where the girls were coming out just to see them.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant, man. Yeah. I don't know how well it worked. But I'm sure there were a lot of girls that were dying to, you know, I wish I could tell you what they used to call those teams, the actual term for them.
Is it for?
Oh, it's not safe for work.
Double drop kick at night.
Yeah, it'd be double drop kick.
Well,
after
you have
dark.
To tell me at lunch.
I tell you, it starts with a B and ends with a J. And that's what they used to refer to them as.
Oh, gotcha.
Because, you know.
Okay, good.
Trying to get a bunch of
Great, super. And at the, you know, if you go back and look at this, you had the AWA, they had the Midnight Rockers, again, trying to do kind of that same.
Same thing.
Same
yeah,
thing.
That's,
can I, now as I go back, I'm listening to the announcers.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got. You know, in the last couple of days, I've watched the, you know, Mid-South, where, you know, very serious, very...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then you've got AWA, which I don't know what those guys are doing.
Well, by that era, they were just trying to stay afloat. This is not like the Heenan family and the Stan Hansen stuff at the height of its popularity.
You got David Crockett and Tony Schiavone. And then who's the other one? Then Dutch Mantel and Bob Cottle.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
was funny to hear Bob Cottle after the first interview with the Gangstas and call them the Gangstas. Just so so unhip and so uncool. And ladies and gentlemen, that was the Gangstas.
Oh my goodness, Bob Cottle, man, so awesome.
Oh yeah, man.
So awesome, man.
Yeah, I enjoy it. It's cool to get to watch. I hope they put more of the Smoky Mountain stuff because I watched a lot of it on compilation tapes.
Right.
But I didn't get to see the buildup to a lot of the stuff and what happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you'll see, like, I'm looking forward to the guys who moved on to WWE. Like,
right.
A lot of them haven't shown up yet, like Unabomb.
Yeah.
Wind up being Kane. Al Snow was there because it's been cool to see Chris Candido and Tammy Fitch who was just not that good looking, man. She was very, very ordinary. Very, I've always thought, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She was real ordinary looking back then. The Dirty White Boy.
Yeah, I never.
Tony Anthony, he was T.L. Hopper.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha.
And the Dirty White Girl with him. And she.
So I watched.
Primetime Brian Lee.
Maybe it was just on the website when they put all this up, they had clips of the ladder match between Tracy Smothers and Chris Candido.
Yeah.
And just how they had the production quality of the string across and just.
That's right, with this check. Like you could almost jump up and grab a hold of that check.
Right.
Candido mocked doing that.
Oh,
he kind of jumped up and grabbed at it.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. This our point being, this whole episode is that you know, recapture your childhood a little bit. I mean, like I said, I haven't seen any of this. Yeah. I was not watching wrestling when Smoky Mountain came on. It kind of replaced that Saturday morning. But I wasn't watching wrestling at the time. I was out of it and wish I could go back, you know. And
did it come on? I don't remember it coming on.
Yeah, it came on like either – it was like the same time slot that Mid-Atlantic did.
Really?
I think it was that Saturday, like 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, right before like college football.
Oh, I know why now. Why? I know why I wasn't watching it. Because we would have been in college.
Right.
And I stayed up all night. And I was probably sleeping.
Yeah.
But I did get it on video. I never watched it.
The thing that disappointed me with what they put on the network, and they did the same thing with World Class, is the first Smoky Mountain episode they put up was episode like 108.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on, man. I want to watch it from the – if I want to binge watch a show, I don't start watching season 3.
Right.
I went back and watched you talked about Deadwood, and I went back and found the episode with that fight in it.
Oh, did you watch that? About.
And, man, you weren't joking. That's just the tension in that.
Yeah, that's a great episode.
And he messes
of
that
TV.
Boy up.
Yeah, that's a good episode of TV right there.
And then just hits him with a hunk of wood.
Yeah. It looked like what a real fight would have looked like.
Yeah, because there wasn't nothing pretty about it. And I don't even know if they had stuntmen doing it. I think it was two big old boys just wallowing around in the mud.
In the muck and the mire.
The muck and the mire. So let me ask you this. So just you personally, when you finish the WCW Saturday nights, where would you gravitate toward next?
Well, I'm skipping around.
Gotcha.
Like, I'm watching everything in order, but I'm not.
Gotcha.
Like,
okay.
Just watching. Like, I've watched a couple episodes of Smoky Mountain. The AWA stuff, because I know that it's not. If it was like the stuff with Hulk Hogan or the stuff with Bockwinkle and Heenan and Stevens, I would be all over it.
Right. Early 80s.
But it's not.
Yeah.
It's the stuff that I saw on ESPN. The same with the Global. It's the stuff that I've seen on like ESPN.
So just Global, was that the former USWA and World Class? What was Global?
Yeah, that
was Continental?
Jerry Jarrett running that in Texas, I think.
Okay.
I think.
Now the Mid-South
stuff. But I think that.
After listening to, and I've got maybe an hour left in the Junkyard Dog book.
Uh-huh.
But actually, after listening to that book, I kind of know the storylines.
Right.
And that's what I'm trying to find. I think those episodes are 83, 84.
I haven't got a chance to watch them yet.
Maybe 83 through 86, but not all of them.
Is it, I think, and maybe I'm wrong, you can tell me, some of it's the Stagger Lee stuff.
That stuff in the book, but I didn't see any of that on the episodes.
Okay. Is it Magnum TA and Mr. Wrestling 2?
I think some of that's on there.
Is that in the description?
I haven't looked at all of them.
Because I haven't either. I've been watching Smoky Mountain. And
yeah.
Mr. Wrestling the Second. Yeah, Mr. Wrestling the Second. But if it is the Magnum TA Mr. Wrestling 2 stuff, that's well worth watching.
Right.
That's good stuff, man. That's real good stuff where, like, Magnum TA, it was just kind of Terry Allen before that.
Yeah.
And he kind of looked like Tom Selleck. And they bring him along, and Mr. Wrestling 2 starts to mentor him, and then all of a sudden he finds out, well, Magnum TA could eclipse me in popularity, and he becomes jealous, and he attacks him.
And he starts kind of berating him during their training, and they do he's trying to teach him the million dollar knee lift
and he busts the bag of grains open with his knee.
Or he tries to.
Yeah, he tries to. Yeah.
And then the match where he turns on him, that's on the Mid-South DVDs, which I cannot find. I've been wanting to go back and watch those Mid-South DVDs after listening to the JYD, but I can't find my Mid-South DVDs.
Oh, you got it. I got it.
I got that and the Sting. Have you got the Sting DVDs? And I got the Jerry Lawler.
I got the Jerry Lawler.
I haven't watched that yet, though. See, dude, that's what I want to see.
The Sting stuff's like, first of all,
I've seen his whole career.
Yeah, I saw his whole career, and he's not great anyway. I mean, I'll just call it like it is.
Right.
His matches with Vader and Cactus Jack, actually, like that era when business was down.
Right.
Is when I thought Sting was doing his best work. I mean,
yeah.
Maybe that was the opponents that he had.
Are we going, I don't have the numbers obviously in front of me, but comparatively, now to then, I wonder how the business compares to that downtime.
Oh, God. It's just think about how many people used to watch wrestling versus how many people watch wrestling now.
But I'm saying in the early 90s, would they have killed for 2 million people to be watching it on a Monday night?
No, I think they'd have been disappointed.
And in the, I mean, I'm talking like early.
You think there weren't 2 million people watching WCW back then?
Well, I don't know.
I know their houses were down, but I know that at one time you'd have 5 or 6 million people watching that Saturday night show.
Right.
And that's just watching that show.
Yeah, and that wasn't that great.
And that wasn't all around the country. When you add up how many people around the country used to watch wrestling.
Yeah.
You 2 million viewers.
Yeah.
That's nothing.
Right. But it's like you said earlier, 5 million people were watching it when they didn't have Netflix and Hulu and the WWE Network. I mean, right. WWE's about killing themselves because now instead of watching Monday Night Raw where they need the ratings, we're watching the network.
Yeah, but I mean, we're not. If they lost several hundred thousand viewers over the course of like 2 years, I would be willing to say, oh, well, those are people like me that are kind of watching it sporadically on Hulu.
Right.
But man, they lost a couple hundred thousand viewers over a few weeks.
Yeah, it was a cliff. They felt falling off a cliff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's just this general attitude they seem to have that they're going to do it their way, by God, whether you like it or not.
So what do you think is the – what do you think is kind of the come to Jesus line? That if ratings fall below 2 million, that Vince finally says, whoa, whoa, what the crap? Because obviously that hadn't happened. Hadn't happened yet.
I think it's when their new TV contract comes up.
But that's not for several years now. I mean, they just signed.
I understand.
Yeah.
They got a contract right now. But when that contract comes up, it ain't going to be worth near as much money if they're not putting in ratings.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, let's just go ahead and I think, okay, I think by the time that we've come around to their next contract. You think how much TV's changed the last 5 years. I think it's going to continue to change exponentially. I think we're going to be looking at a completely different business. Right now their business model is ratings, the TV contracts. That's where they're getting their money. And I don't think, just me personally, I don't think that model is sustainable in the long run. Now, the NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, their numbers are going through the roof, but that's a seasonal sport. It's like you said earlier, you know who's going to play when. You only get to see this game on this date one time. If the Carolina Panthers play the New Orleans Saints every other week, ratings would fall off.
Yeah, you watch the same teams play all the time. That's why I'm in favor of not an off season for wrestling, but an off season for wrestlers.
Yes, I agree.
Where, I mean, you know, John Cena from September, October, November, and December, that's when he's off.
Yeah.
So that gives him 4 months to heal his body up.
Yeah.
So he comes back. You hadn't seen him for a while. He comes back, and it's time for Kevin Owens. He'll take his off. You know what I mean? And you can kind of cycle guys in and out. And that way you get fresh matches.
But it also gives John Cena, he's filming a reality show, you get that's not going to be geared toward wrestling fans, that perhaps you get some crossover. Somebody sees John Cena on this reality show, says, hey, I might check wrestling out.
Right.
That's a way to try to get
but if you give them all a few months off every year.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I know
it gives their bodies time to recuperate. I mean, I can remember CM Punk, how he looked before he left.
He looked bad.
And he looked awful, man. Yeah. Just the wear and tear on it. And then to see him a few months later, and he looked like a new guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked
really
fresh. And if everybody could have that opportunity to just, because, I mean, it wears your body out.
Yeah.
The human body is not meant to do what professional wrestlers or any professional athlete.
Right.
The human body's not meant to do that. So right. If you got a few months off, golly, where you can just enjoy, not only let your body heal and recuperate, let your mind heal.
Yeah.
Engage in the activities that you enjoy doing. Take a vacation, spend time with your wife and your right. kids. And then you come back recharged, man.
Yeah.
And you can make a contribution. And two or three other guys go away, and you start overlapping their off time, and you get these fresh matchups all the time.
And you have,
you know,
and what's
not
more,
the same thing.
What gets
week.
A bigger pop than a guy making his return?
Right.
I mean, that's you don't even have to write that. Just, hey, you're coming back this night. Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And go out there and talk about something and
just talk. Just go
talk.
Out there and talk.
Just get out there and talk and go have a little promotion and just get out there and, you know, do what you're going to do. And, I mean, that's – so I would say, you know, for me, I'm excited in January, hoping to see Ring of Honor three times. Confirmed now, Young Bucks will be at all the shows.
Oh, nice.
Could not be more.
Is AJ Styles going to be at the Asheville show? He's on the poster.
I think so. I think so. Cool. You can go and check his schedule, and that's going to be great. I'm the next.
Who are the Young Bucks wrestling?
Don't know. Don't know who they're wrestling. They haven't put up the full cards. The Ring of Honor final battle is coming up December the 18th.
Yeah.
I'm going to be watching that. Excited to see Jay Lethal and AJ Styles. Two guys who. They've had two very good years back to back, those guys.
True.
Very good years. You got Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole in a grudge match. That's going to be good. And that's a match that's kind of been building for several months that they've kind of kept those guys apart. So I'm excited to see some different matches. You know, guys, you don't see these matches every other week.
Right.
And that's, you know, because Ring of Honor is only an hour. But Ring of Honor, you're not getting just a little three-minute match. You're getting a good 5 to 8 minute match every week. So, listen, here's what I'm going to do. Because I love you guys. I'm going to take what Mark said. And so, in the show notes, you're going to see.
No, you won't.
I am. I wrote it down. I promise I will.
Okay.
You're going to get the list, okay, of the viewing list. Starrcade 84, I'm going to link to as many of these YouTube videos as I can find. And then you watch that leading up to these TBS shows. And I'm even going to post the Morgan Freeman version of the Hard Times promo because you got to watch both of those, daddy. So I want to put that on there. I'm excited to watch some of this with Drake, who Drake does not know the wrestling I grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
I really think leading up to WrestleMania, I would like to take, once a week or twice a week watching these old WrestleMania. There's still some WrestleManias that I haven't seen.
Really?
But watching some of these with Drake and seeing the evolution of the spectacle and the sport and all that, I think would be great. We want to hear from you. DoubleDropKick.com. You can leave a comment. There's a contact button on there. You can contact us. There's banners to click on. On Facebook, you can go to our Double Dropkick Show page. You can click the thumbs up and like us. And the Wrestling You Grew Up With is our group where we talk about wrestling, and we'd love to have you join that group.
You know what goes good if you're going to sit down and watch all this old wrestling?
Yeah.
You know what goes good with it?
What's that?
Some snacks.
Some snacks.
And I'll tell you, man, if I was looking for snacks and I didn't want to go to the store, I just wanted to hang around my house, watch the network all the time, I'd talk to the good people at Munchbox.
That's right. There's a banner right above here, Munchbox. Listen, I thought my kids had devoured all the stuff. You know what I found in there? Not the cheap oatmeal, Quaker Oats, maple and brown sugar oatmeal.
Really?
That stuff is substantial.
So they left the oatmeal for Dave.
They did. They left the oatmeal today. They know well, want good. Me to be regular.
But, you know, if you got a soldier or you got a kid in college or whatever and you want to send them something, you want to send me a package, I'd love to get one. They're great. You can do it. Just click on that banner and support Munchbox. Support us.
Yeah. And especially as the year is coming to an end and you're – you know, you got so many soldiers who can't be with their families.
Right.
And with Munchbox, you don't have to go and put the box together through Amazon. Listen, they have done it for you. The snacks are already put together. You can put a gift message on there.
Yeah.
Ship it straight to them. And, you know, your college student's going away for that second semester, and they've already put on the freshman 15, help them finish the freshman 40 and send them these snacks.
That's right. What I liked about it was there's some Airheads and some Oreos in there, but there's also, you know, get some good healthy granola and,
right,
and,
there, yes,
and protein bars. I mean, you get a little mixture.
Some balance, ramen noodles.
Some ramen noodles, right. I mean, it's not just candy.
All sugar and chocolate.
It's not right. I mean, you're getting ramen noodles. You're getting macaroni and cheese.
I think it's the Velveeta microwave.
Yeah, I think so. The little buckets. I mean,
I did not get any of those because my kids beat me.
They beat you to them. But yeah, this has got some substance to it.
Yeah, I mean, you know? If they're listen, all right. This statement is not being evaluated by the FDA, but I'm just going to tell you, if there's a zombie apocalypse, okay, and I don't know if you've been watching the news, but there's some crazy crap going on. If you have at least one Munchbox in your house,
you may be able to ride the apocalypse out.
Right. It increases your chances of survival 17.3%.
That's what they say.
That's what I say. listen, you don't need this freeze-dried stored food. You don't need these MREs. You need a Munchbox. The official zombie apocalypse escape kit of the Double Drop Kick Show. Listen, Mark, so true. You cannot watch wrestling without snacking. The only thing missing from the Munchbox is a Star Crunch.
Yeah, but that's the good thing about Munchbox, the way I understand it. Yeah, it's not always – they have a certain package they put together for a while, and then they change it.
That's right.
You get different things.
What a novel. Not the same all the time.
Not the same all the time. Who would have thought that'd be a good idea?
Who? You know what else is a good idea? Twitter.
Yeah.
You can talk to me on Twitter, at Heath Mulliken.
You can talk to me at the DDK Show.
You can ask me about church polity and ask Mark about wrestling, and he'll – you'll get good answers for both of those. I'm excited. Like, we're getting ready to go eat lunch and probably watch some three count wrestling, and critique ourselves. But I'm excited to sit down over the holidays with my son and watch the wrestling that I grew up with and to watch some of the wrestling that inspired this podcast. And inspired that.
I don't know. I guess Diener's inspired that.
So listen, as always, for the Double Drop Kick Show, I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.